Hare Krishna Anandamai Prabhu, welcome. Suswagatam. Everyone, please note this little poster here. It says, phones off, please. Please translate that into Telugu. Please turn your phone off. Translation. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. Purport. In every civilized human society, there is some set of scriptural rules and regulations which is followed from the beginning. Especially among the Aryans, those who adopt the Vedic civilization and who are known as the most advanced civilized peoples, those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions are supposed to be demons. Therefore, it is stated here, it's a good idea to put oil on squeaky doors. Therefore, it is stated here that the demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow them. Most of them do not know them, and even if some of them know, they have not the tendency to follow them. They have no faith, nor are they willing to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions. The demons are not clean, either externally or internally. One should always be careful to keep his body clean by bathing, brushing teeth, shaving, changing clothes, etc. As far as internal cleanliness is concerned, one should always remember the holy names of God and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The demons neither like nor follow all these rules for external and internal cleanliness. As for behavior, there are many rules and regulations guiding human behavior, such as the Manu Sanhita, which is the law of the human race. Even up to today, those who are Hindu follow the Manu Sanhita. Laws of inheritance and other legalities are derived from this book. Of course, modern India has changed a lot of that. Just like laws of inheritance, Indira Gandhi changed all that. She, instead of the property accruing to the elder son, who then it was understood that he would look after the, he would become the head of the family and look after all these sons, but instead she had a better idea, treat everyone equally and divide it all up between all the sons and daughters, with the result that farming has been much affected and the whole family structures have been affected, and brothers fight among themselves. I mean, it's not the only cause of them fighting among themselves, but it broke down. It was largely a cause of the breaking down the joint family and the whole social system underlying the agricultural ethos throughout India. Another example is also related with Indira Gandhi. Was the divorce law, for which there was no such thing in Hindu law, and there was no such thing in Indian law, was also introduced for her by her father. So, traditionally, it was based on Manu Sanhita, but modern Indians have got better ideas than Manu, rascals. Even up to today, yeah. Now in the Manu Sanhita, it is clearly stated that a woman should not be given freedom. That does not mean that women are to be kept as slaves, but but they are like children. Children are not given freedom, but that does not mean that they are kept as slaves. The demons have now neglected such injunctions, and they think that women should be given as much freedom as men. However, this has not improved the social condition of the world. Actually, a woman should be given protection at every stage of life. She should be given protection by the father in her younger days, by the husband in her youth, and by the grown-up sons in her old age. This is proper social behavior according to the Manu Sanghita. But modern education, remember what I was talking about last night? Modern education? Modern education has artificially devised a puffed up concept of womanly life, and therefore marriage is practically now an imagination in human society. Nor is the moral condition of woman very good now. The demons therefore do not accept any instruction which is good for society, and because they do not follow the experience of the great sages and the rules and regulations laid down by the sages, the social condition of the demoniac people is very miserable. In 2008, last year, the governing body commission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness passed a resolution requesting the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, which is the publishing wing of ISKCON, which is Srila Prabhupada set up to be managerially independent from ISKCON, and the very sagacious of Srila Prabhupada to do so, as we see from this instance. The GBC passed a resolution stating or requesting the BBT to insert explanatory remarks for certain controversial statements, such as the statements about women in this purport. So, as I said, Srila Prabhupada was most sagacious in setting up the BBT separately, because the BBT trustees very sagaciously refused to do what the GBC said and said, we're not going to start interpreting Prabhupada's books right in his books. But undoubtedly, statements such as this are, in the modern age, seen as highly controversial. They will be called, there is a word which has been invented recently in English called sexist, which means that you unfairly discriminate between genders, which means almost always males considering discriminating against females. For instance, having the idea that women are not to be given freedom, as is stated here. So it's highly controversial and goes again, because modern society has a completely different outlook. And modern society, according to the description of this verse in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and as Srila Prabhupada elaborates on in the purport, is demoniac. Modern society is based on the principle which is described in the next verse of Bhagavad Gita, asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. Modern society is based on so-called science, which misleads us into thinking that there is no basis to the world, there is no God in control, there is no absolute truth, and everything is just going on like that. Everything came into being like that. Just there was nothing, and then there was everything. This is called science. That's what they call science. And the only thing that's left is to indulge lust. So modern society is, according to the version of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, demoniac. And another of the symptoms is they do not know what should be done and what is not to be done, because, as Srila Prabhupada points out, they do not follow any scriptural rules. They do what they think is best. Just like I just gave that example of Indira Gandhi dividing property equally between all the siblings. And it seems very fair, doesn't it? Why should the elder brother get everything? But the actual result is that the breakdown of society. So it seems very good. So similarly, when we talk about freedom of women, and women, they should all have equal opportunity and this and that, it all sounds very good, but the actual result, as Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport, is that the social condition is very miserable, the moral condition of women is not very good. It's interesting also that in the verse itself under question, the verse that we just read from Bhagavad Gita, there's no particular mention of women or women's roles or any such thing like that, but Prabhupada chooses to use this as a prime example of demoniac society. Now, within ISKCON today, there is a divide, as became apparent when this resolution was passed. The resolution was passed because certain devotees claimed that, well, people won't understand they'll turn against Krishna consciousness, so we should explain it. Of course, that could be said about almost every statement in Prabhupada's books. There's so many things in Prabhupada's, and practically everything goes against everything that modern society stands for. The whole idea, the creation of the universe, the whole universe is created by someone who's born from a lotus flower, and he has four heads. And God also, God plays a flute and is a cowherd boy, and that's one form. Another form of him is there's a giant pig. And other forms, in general form, has four arms. I mean, almost everything in the Shastra goes against pretty much everything that modern society claims to, or the general trend of, or the overwhelming trend of modern society is based upon principles which of what they call rationalism and realism and scientific science. And so it's a good idea to explain all these things in terms that people can understand. Of course, Srila Prabhupada does that himself in his own books, but it can be explicated more. But particularly this issue was taken up, and it attracted a very strong protest from other devotees within our movement, which shows there is actually there's a great divide within a cultural divide on this and many other issues also. But this is like a focal point. The role of women, because this has changed very much in recent society. Throughout history, pretty much throughout the world, gender roles were that the man took charge and the women took a more subdued role or subtle role. And in modern society, that's, in practically everyone nowadays, at least in the Western world, and increasingly so in India and everywhere else where the Western influence is there, they subscribe to the feminist theory. Feminist means there's a movement called feminism, which not just run by women, but by men also, which has the idea that women have been exploited throughout history and it's time to reverse the trend. And in India, this is there also in, for instance, could you put some oil on that door, please, so it doesn't squeak every time someone goes in and out? So that's just like there's reservations for parliamentary seats. Actually, they talk about democracy, but there's not democracy, because if people want, in certain constituencies, if people want to vote a particular man who's a candidate for a parliamentary seat, they can't, because they have to have a woman. So, and the reservation system means that it's unequal. Unequal opportunity, and it actually is always inequal. They're trying to eradicate inequality, but they're just creating another type of inequality, that's all. So anyway, the whole society has changed. Previously, it was accepted throughout the world that women had a particular role and men had a particular role, and even there, it's there today, even in the Western countries. You'll find that women are more in one kind of job and men in another kind. If you're here in India, if you go to the airport check-in counter, you'll find it's all women. It's not men. So why is that? The men should go on strike and say, hey, we want our rights, we want... And you'll see advertisements in the newspaper, wanted female typist or male assistant or something. Misunderstood that certain certain functions are better for women and certain functions are better for men. Now in America, they're so stupid about this equal rights, they're sending women to fight in Iraq. I mean, to send anyone to fight is not very good. I mean, in a country that... Anyway, that's another issue. But it's actually a liability to the soldiers, because to the male soldiers, because they have the women, they're not as suited for fighting. Their bodies are not meant, they can't carry such heavy weights, and they don't have such endurance. And one graphic example, a man can just, if he needs to urinate, he can just do so pretty much anywhere, but a woman can't, and she has to maybe go in the firing line or something, or just hold on to it or whatever. So anyway, it's any reasonably sane person can understand that women shouldn't be out fighting in armies, but they have the idea that all equal rights, and then they have to have maternity leave. And can you imagine in the middle of a battle, and then, you know, I have to go for maternity leave. I'm pregnant. Or that they put them in submarines, and the submarines have to go 3 months underground. What if they have a baby in between? How are they going to give them maternity leave? There's so many, anyway, there are so many stupid things. But anyway, the idea is that women, now they have to show their role and become equal and all this. And in our ISKCON also, there are many who are influenced in the same way. Of course, they'll never say that we are influenced by the mundane feministic ideals. But what they say is that we're all equal. The devotees are not men or women or black or white or Indian or Chinese. We're all the same. We're all spirit soul. That's true. But still, people have different social roles to play. Men's bodies and women's bodies do different things. And men and women have different mentalities. And so we may say that on the spiritual platform they're all the same, but still, in human society, there are different roles for men and for women. And that's been true. That's true in the case of Draupadi and Kunti. And Draupadi didn't say that, you know, I'm going to go and join the battle. And there was Draupadi on one side, and then all the wives of the Kauravas on the other, and they're all fighting each other. It wasn't like that. They were at home. They had a different role to play. So, although it's true that men and women are equal on the spiritual platform, but it's also true that almost all devotees are not on the spiritual platform fully. And even if you are fully on the spiritual platform, then like Kunti and Draupadi and so many others, they still act in their traditional social role. That's the example that we see. So, it also overlooks the fact that Varnashram is there and is supposed to be followed to help us to come to the fully perfect platform. And one of the main ways, there are various systems within Varnashram. One of them is the separation of the sexes and specific roles for them, on the understanding that Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavametam Tayaraho Hridya Grantimahu. The basic principle of materialistic existence is the attraction between male and female, on the basis of which a hard knot of material attachment forms within the heart. So men and women, they are to be separated to a large extent, and not mix up all the time, because unless that is there, unless there are systems in place to regulate association between men and women, then the sex attraction increases, and then there's no hope of spiritual advancement. So those who say, well, we're all the same on the spiritual platform, you shouldn't see the body, just see the spiritual soul, but that's That's possible only for highly exalted Paramahamsas, because the Maya is very strong, and to suggest that it's anything but very strong is foolishness and is not recommended by Shastra. Therefore, we have Brahmacharya, Garhastya, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, the different stages of life, and these are defined largely by the level and the level of and nature of the interaction between male and female. Only in Grihastha life is there some laxity or extended association with women, even not nearly as much as in present society. In traditional householder life, the men and women, they didn't just mix up and go around all the time. The young married people, they weren't even allowed to mix with their husband and wife very much. They were ruled by their elders. So, by saying that we want to stress, some devotees, they express, well, we're all spirit soul, so, you know, we should all just be equal like that. And others stress, no, we should follow Vanashram rules, which is actually that is the system for aspiring transcendentalists. And even advanced transcendentalists, we see that Srila Prabhupada, when he was from the physical point of view, well over 70 years old, he refused to remain alone in a room with his sister, who was also a pure devotee of Krishna, who was also like that, well over 60, just to show the example that man and woman should not be alone. So there was no need for either of them. They're both pure devotees, but they followed that rule. Or Prabhupada, his sister didn't want to. She's a very simple woman. She just walked into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada wouldn't allow that, because he wanted to show the actual example. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in his early days of preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western world, he was very liberal in the sense that, for instance, it's often said, or it's been cited as an example, that in the early days of ISKCON, in Tulasi Arati, while doing Tulasi Parikrama, the men and women would go around all in one group. And the idea was that in kirtans they'd all mix up, but then later on these nasty sannyasis came and they separated everyone. This is stated in a paper which was instrumental in bringing in rules to make more what they call opportunity for women. So, as I understand it, in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada didn't try to do the impossible and try to overnight turn the hippies who were dedicated to free mixing into follow the Vedic ways. First of all, Srila Prabhupada got them to take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, and start to listen to the spiritual philosophy and start to follow the principles. And it's only later that Srila Prabhupada started speaking more about these rules and regulations, and he brought devotees to India, and then they saw, oh, this is how people behave. And it's obvious, actually. I mean, it's obvious for spiritual advancement that men and women don't dance and mix up together. Even in kirtan, men and women don't dance next to each other. It's an obvious principle for spiritual life. So that happened in Europe a few years ago. I was Tulasi Parikrama in the morning. I was walking around Tulasi after the kirtan was going. I looked to my left, there was a woman. So I moved to the right, and there was another woman. I thought, what's going on here, you know? And I just got out of the Parikrama altogether, because this idea that, I think they stopped that now, because even except for maybe the most ardent feminists within ISKCON, they can understand that this isn't really proper. They may have some kind of understanding of this. At least I don't see it. Of course, I spend most of my time in India. Although It can be pretty rough in the West for brahmacharis and sannyasis, as I've experienced. Like, women will just push you out of the way. Sannyasi, if they think you're standing in their way, that just physically, that happened to me, physically pushed me out of the way. And in one play, there was Nrisimha Chaturdashi, we're going for, they asked me to come and do the bathing of the deity. So I went into the deity room. It's all women there. And I'm just a little, it's no less, half the size of this, and about five women in Nrisimha. I can't go in there. He said, well, you know, that's modern ISKCON. I said, okay, if you forget it, I'm not going. You know, he wanted me to squeeze up. So, some funny idea. Not funny ideas, right? What Prabhupada here refers to as demoniac, or the idea that because we're all spirit soul, therefore, you know, men and women can mix up completely, and bizarre ideas. We are spirit soul, but we're in this material world because we don't realize that we're spirit soul, and Maya is not such an easy thing to overcome. Therefore, Varnashram is there. So Srila Prabhupada in the beginning was liberal in many ways, and later on he introduced rules and regulations which would be considered those of normal life. And it's not just in India, but I mean, I don't know about now, I haven't been in a church service for many years, but as a child going to church, I would see the men would be on one side of the church and women on the other. It wasn't that they all mixed. Oh, and then later, gradually, they started mixing up, yeah, because they became more liberal. Vatican Second Council was, I can't remember, 1960-something or other, and then they made many compromises for the modern world. So that culture, and then the women would cover their heads in church. And generally, I see in Russia, in the rural areas up to now, women, when they go outside, they'll cover their head. It's not just in India. And of course, in Islam, up to date, they do that. And we think, well, that's very restrictive to women. But one of my disciples, who's Hindu by background, who is, her husband was posted in Saudi Arabia, and she had to go out in a burqa. And she said, actually, it's very nice. Because I guess a chaste woman would appreciate that. So, Srila Prabhupada also said about his mother that she would never go outside the house except in a palki, palanquin. So that even if she'd go next door, people wouldn't see her. That's the idea, chastity. So, as I understand it, devotees who emphasize the spiritual nature, we're all the same, and in this way they want to mix up the roles of men and women. What I can understand is that while talking about the spiritual equality, they're actually very much influenced by ideas of equality which are coming not from any spiritual source, but from the source of modern feminism, which is another outcrop of the whole modern, totally confused, demoniac, humanistic modern society and the culture and ethos and so-called reasoning that goes with it. Humanism, I just said the word humanistic, humanism is a secular outlook which promotes the interest of the human race as the highest weal, W-E-A-L, the highest benefit for all of humankind, because that's what we are. We're humans, and what is best for humans? No belief in God. So, many devotees are influenced by the modern cultural idea into thinking that modern society has got it right and traditional society was wrong. Traditional society all over the world was wrong, and now we're right. Even though we have in modern society social problems far greater than they were even one generation ago, every year the social problems are increasing, but modern people are so foolish and so proud that they think we got it right and traditional society got it wrong. And many of the social problems, they affect women too, because they are, after all, the weaker sex and more easily exploited. So many, like rape and sexual abuse and so many things, women are complaining about rape, but then, you know, they go around dressed in such a way to attract men, and then they go out by themselves. I've seen even in Kuwait at midnight, or the Indian women just coming, you see them walking on the street alone. I think maybe not prostitutes, but what to speak of the prostitutes. But, you know, they have the idea, we should have full freedom to go anywhere by ourselves at any time. And then they complain. Oh, rape. And then there's so much advertisement for sex, and then they'll go and they'll smile at different men and dress in such a way to be attractive, and then they complain. So the systems were there to protect women, but protection means less, actually no independence. You can't have both protection and be independent. Protection means that there are restrictions on you, because you can't protect someone who wants to be independent. So modern society, they think they've got it all right, but they got it wrong very badly. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Trividham Narakasyedam Dwaram Nashanam Atmanah. It's in this same chapter about the demons. Kamas Krodhas Tathalopas Tasmat Etat Triyang Tyajet. There are three gates leading to hell. They are lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, an intelligent person should give them up. But modern society promotes all of these. Especially through the TV and the cinema, they're promoting lust and anger, violence and greed. Buy this, buy that. So these lust, kamam, avritya dehinam. This kam avritya, what was that? Atma. So the dangers of lust are described in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna, that it covers the intelligence of the living being. But that is the main thing that is promoted in modern society. This Sigmund Freud, highly influential up to the present day. I saw in one bookshop in London, there was a whole special exhibition of books on and about this Sigmund Freud, mostly about him and his theories. He was the founder of psychoanalysis. So I saw there was a board written that even though all his ideas have shown to be wrong, he's still highly influential. Yeah, doesn't sound very intelligent. But he had some very... I mean, his idea was that the... Actually, Prabhupada said in one way he's right, because he said, like, the main thrust in human society is sex. And Prabhupada said, that's true. That's what it says in Bhagavatam. Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam. But then he said that all the problems are caused by repressing the sexual desire. Whereas the Vedic understanding is that all the problems come by indulging the sexual desire. Therefore, it should be given up, and Varnashram is meant for that, to at least gradually give it up. It's not very easy to give it up very quickly and immediately. But Freud's idea was that we have so many psychological problems because we don't indulge. He had some extremely strange ideas, like just like his idea of the Oedipus complex. He thinks that every man is sexually attracted to his mother. That's one of Freud's brilliant ideas. You know, only a really low class rascal. even an animal. You say an animal, but he thinks that every man is attracted to his mother, and that's one of Freud's famous ideas. And this man is so influential in modern society. There's a doctor in Tamil Nadu, comes on Tamil TV every week for 1 hour on Saturday morning. His name is, believe it or not, Dr. Kamaraj. And he is preaching that you have to have lots of sex. Every day is the only way to keep away the doctor and the lawyer. Because if you don't do it every day, then you'll be going to prostitutes and then you'll have to go to see a doctor. And if you don't do it every day, then your wife won't be saying, sorry to tell you all these things, but this is the world that we are influenced by. And if you don't do it every way, then your wife will want a divorce. So you have to do it every day. And that's the only way to keep your marriage together. So marriage is based on sex. But then marriage is not based on sex. There's no marriage in dog society or cat society. Marriage is meant to bring man and woman together. And definitely sex is there. But that is meant to be dovetailed for procreation, the natural result of sex. And man and woman, all over the world, marriage, and until the recent times, marriage was sanctified by a religious ceremony. It was supposed to be not just the way dogs and cats come together, but man and woman coming together in the eyes of God for serving God. That was the idea. So modern society promotes lust, anger, and greed. So expect trouble. Don't think that human society is going to be very nice and very peaceful and everyone's going to be happy when you're promoting lust, anger, and greed, of which lust is the root of them all. People are promoting it as a solution, but it actually causes tremendous discontent because you promote lust more and more, but it can never be fulfilled. You're promoting greed more and more, but then greed, that can never be fulfilled. So there's discontent and there's frustration. And there's actually women suffer more because they are the weaker sex. They can be exploited. And they are exploited. When Srila Prabhupada, he was saying how a woman should she should have one husband and stick to him. And you say, well, so many men exploit the women. So many husbands exploit their wives. Prabhupada said, it's better to be exploited by one man than by many men. So there's so many problems which are caused by indulging in lust, anger, and greed. So Srila Prabhupada, in line with the acharyas, recommended the Varnashram system. Is the Varnashram system perfect? What do you think? No. It's not perfect in as much as it is a system for regulating imperfection. So don't expect perfection in a system which is anyway designed to make the best of a bad job. It's meant for regulating people who are infected by Maya, who are in the consciousness of exploitation, and leading them to the consciousness of selflessness, dharma. The concept of dharma is to develop selflessness, just like Rama, he is ruling, he is the ideal king. Up to date, the kings of Thailand, they all take the title Rama. So, of course it's pronounced a little differently in Thai language, but it's derived from the Sanskrit Rama. So the idea, an ideal king, he rules on behalf of the, he is concerned with the welfare of the citizens. Women, they're selfless mothers and wives, like this. The concept of selflessness is there, and lauded are persons like Maharaj Shibi, who was willing to give his body for the sake of a pigeon. That story is recounted in Mahabharata and Bhagavatam and Ramayana, I believe also. So it's, and other Puranas also. So the selflessness is inculcated to lead us from exploitation. And ultimately the selflessness of fully surrendering to Krishna. But in an atmosphere where lust and greed and anger are promoted, then everyone suffers as everyone is trying to exploit everyone else. And actually women suffer more because they're easily exploited. And children, they're sexually exploited, both boys and girls. So there are many children at the present time, adults who were children who were exploited in the, just sexually exploited, even by their own fathers or brothers, or because the lust is so strong. And people, they lose any sense of discrimination, and they have no sense of right and wrong, as is mentioned or is described in this verse. And so they see, well, I'm lusty. They don't even reason it. They just see a body. They never mind it's their sister's body or their daughter's body. They just want to exploit it and use it, which is not even animalistic. It's like sub-animal, or on the level of the lowest animals. But people, they've lost their discrimination. And women suffer more, which is maybe one reason they're asking for freedom. But the freedom, the so-called freedom, that doesn't solve the problem. It's just like in modern medicine, they give symptomatic treatment, but it doesn't actually solve the problem. Whereas Ayurveda, it's maybe a longer and more difficult course, but if administered properly, it seeks out what is the root cause of the problem, which is in Ayurveda, the medical problems are diagnosed as a imbalance of the tridhatu, kapha, pitta, vayu, the three humors, mucus, bile, and air. So that is attempted to be rectified, and then otherwise it's not possible to fully cure it. So as to try to make material solutions, or solutions only on the material platform, means the very nature of this material world is that even if you solve one problem, you create more problems in doing so. So Varnashram can only, I was saying, it's not perfect, it's a system for regulating perfection, but it only comes to the perfect point if it is practiced in Krishna consciousness, which brings one to the point of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it must come back to exploitation, which is why the caste system arose in India. The Chatur Vanyang Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Lord Krishna created the system of four varnas, which of course includes the four ashrams also, according to quality and work. But certain people, having lost the spiritual focus of that system, they use it as a system not to serve others and to become free from material desire, but to exploit others, which is the material disease. So unless there's the spiritual focus of Krishna consciousness, then Varnashram must degrade. So Srila Prabhupada, he was very much concerned to introduce Varnashram to regulate his devotees regulate his disciples and regulate the whole of human society. When Srila Prabhupada, in one conversation, Srila Prabhupada was talking about the necessity of introducing this among devotees. And one of Prabhupada's disciples said, "Well, Srila Prabhupada, aren't devotees transcendental?" Prabhupada retorted, "If they are transcendental, why are they falling down?" In other words, devotional service is transcendental, but we may not be fully on the transcendental platform. And in fact, we're not. If we're honest, then I think most devotees will have to admit that I'm not fully on the transcendental platform. And even if persons who do claim to be on the transcendental platform, and then others might not agree with them. It's easy to say, or it's easy to advertise. Of course, in one way, devotees are on the transcendental platform, but you can say we're not very firmly situated on it, because we do have material desires. So, and that sometimes manifests as fall down. And we can trace one of the main causes of fall down. There are many highly advertised fall downs when big ISKCON leaders fall down, which happens from time to time, and probably will go on happening, and unless and until we do have a better Varnashram system set up, and we are more strict in these affairs. It's predictable almost, because Kanaka Kamini, if sannyasis are dealing with large amounts of money and managing lots of money and having unrestricted social dealings with women, having women secretaries and dealing again and again with the same women, then the attraction will come unless one is fully on the perfect platform. So because devotees, they don't follow these rules, therefore so many problems come. They're saying, well, we're all on the spiritual platform. This lady, she's a good devotee. She may be a good devotee. And the sannyasi may also be a good devotee. But as Prabhupada said, man is good and woman is good, but the combination is not good. It can be good. It can be good if it's done in a proper way. Women can give energy to man even in spiritual life. And we see that many householder couples are going on well as a good team in Krishna consciousness. So it can be good if one follows the basic guidelines. Srila Prabhupada himself said, when he was asked, that Prabhupada, we have the perfect philosophy, the perfect way of life, and the perfect guru, that's Prabhupada, of course, then why do we have so many problems in our society? And Prabhupada said, because the brahmacharis and sannyasis mix too much with the women. That's what Prabhupada said. You may think, well, it's just a joke, but it causes so many problems. Then material desire comes, and that manifests in various ways. So it is, when we talk about Varnashram here, and actually, Gauriya culture, or the culture of Gauriya Vaishnavas, that was until recently practiced mostly in Bengal, and in many ways it has been more liberal than in some other parts of India. In North India especially, even up to today, in parts of UP and Bihar, there are women who, they're ekdam garwalia, they're in the house and they're not allowed out at all. In some families which consider that's respectable, that the women will only they may go out if they're taken out to some temple or something like that, but still they're very strict. Whereas in Bengal, traditionally women have had a lot more freedom, in the sense that Bengalis in general, I'm generalizing here, of course, they are a very vivacious and kind of people. They tend to be, vivi means like extroverted. Then they tend to be, especially in East Bengal and among the Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavism is what you would say, Gauriya Vaishnavism especially, is a very, it's a very liberal method of practice. It's not so much rules and it's not so much like very ritualistic, like you see in South India, people go to the temple and they all stand there like this. It's all awe and reverence, but the very culture of Gauriya Vaishnavism is very free and flowing, and it aims at going beyond all rules and regulations. So these may be various cultural influences. Also in Bengal, it's been very influential, apart from Gauriya Vaishnavism, is the Shakta cult of worship of Shakti in the form of Durga and Kali. So, and women, all women especially, are seen as representatives of Shakti and they're highly revered. So these may be all various cultural influences. Although at the same time, traditionally women, apart from they may be more open and they'll ulu in the functions. But still, they're on one side and the men are on the other, and illicit sex is considered abominable, as in other parts of India. It's not like they're hippies. But there's been more liberality. And there have been within the Gaudiya tradition, gurus who are women, notably Janavi Mata, who's the Janava Mata, sorry, one of the two wives of Nityananda Prabhu, and Ganga Mata Goswamini, she was a princess's daughter, she never married, and she was a guru, and Hemlata Thakurani, the daughter of Srinivasa Acharya. So they have been gurus, and there have been others in other lines also, but still they followed their traditional vanashram roles also. It's not like that. You will find that Janava Mata, for instance, at the Khetari Mahotsav, she was cooking. She took charge of the kitchen. And these are all very special persons also. I mean, they're all liberated. Janava Mata is the Shakti of Nityananda Prabhu, so need we say more? So, but one, the Vaishnav culture in Bengal has been, you can say, more liberal in this regard, but perhaps a result of that, and this, you can say, it's somewhat, maybe somewhat speculative sociological analysis, but in Bengal also, there have come so many upper sampradayas in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which mixing of men and women has been sanctioned in the name of religious activity. So we have to be very careful not to stress the spiritual beyond the actual, beyond the parameters of our actual less than fully spiritual status. That's what these Prakriti Sahajiyas, they may say. And recently in South India, there was one bogus guru. They said, saying the same thing. That he said, there was a group of young girls. He said, I don't see any difference between men and women, so, you know, let's all dance together. Is the kind of thing the Sahajiyas say. So we should be very careful of this. So the Gaudiya culture has been very liberal, and or more liberal than most, and maybe not very liberal, but in this matter, and the upper sampradayas have been liberal beyond the bounds of decency, just in the name of religion, engaging in illicit sex, to be quite frank. You'll find gurus who have their what they call sevadasis, which mean young widows. They become disciples of a guru, and then the guru keeps them to serve him in the pure relationship of guru and disciple. And you can just imagine what else happens. They have spiritual children. Bhaktivinoda Thakur decried this, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he founded the Gaudiya Math, and the Gaudiya Math was very strict in this regard, extremely strict. Prior to the Gaudiya Math, Siddhanta Saraswati, he founded the, Sri Chaitanya Math came first, on the same day that he founded Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, in Gaur Purnima 1918, on the same day he accepted sannyas. But prior to that, he had been working in the Navadvip Dham Pracharani Sabha, which was founded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And one of the rules there was that women are not allowed to take any part whatsoever, as one of the rules. That was there, that came in the magazine Sajana Toshani. This is actually, I'm not sure whether it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur was still present in the world at that time or not. But anyway, they were very strict, extremely strict in this regard. And actually, they criticized Prabhupada that when he went to the Western world, he let women live in the ashram because of their strictness. Anyway, this is a big topic. This is just an introduction. I've been speaking for almost an hour. I'm going to stop here now, and I plan to continue speaking on this in the evening. I won't take any questions now, because the questions will probably be about subjects that I plan to speak about. So thank you very much, and Hare Krishna. And if you like, you can listen to more about this evening. And I'm open to questions and doubts, and I'm sure probably the ladies especially have more doubts, because it may seem like that it's advertised that unless you go along with the modern way of life, you're anti-woman and all this kind of thing. So that a whole lifetime of wrong education may not be able to eradicate in a few minutes of speaking. And, even after I've said everything, you may agree with me. You may disagree with me if you fit the description within this verse of Janana Vidura Suraha. You don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done because you're a demon. So that's also possible. And as I say, at least by making a shastric analysis, it would appear that many of our devotees, and actually the social direction of our movement today, is influenced by demoniac tendencies, if we analyze according to the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. As I say, it's very highly controversial, and if this does happen to get, these comments do happen to come out on the internet, no doubt I'll get soundly blasted for this, and maybe be recommended to be removed from ISKCON, as has happened before, because of my making such statements. But anyway, questions can come later, wherever it's from, because I didn't finish speaking on all these things. There's a lot more. As I said, there's just a general, but then there's other points. Okay, if someone's getting fidgety, it's time. You know, I haven't spoken on my cell phone for over an hour. Please someone phone me. Disturb the class. It's over now. Great, I can speak on my cell phone. Okay, you can all turn your cell phones on and chat all over the world, wherever you like, and this horrible class is over, and now you can go back to real life of speaking on your cell phone. All right, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.